Now, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, 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 dear listeners. Wherever you find yourself, I do hope you find yourself at home. You've kicked up your feet. You're listening. You're a little bit more relaxed and willing also to engage in the discussion point for tonight. Now, my discussion point for tonight, even though it was a, you know, a discussion that I had with a well, she's not a legal advocate. It's an advocate for the cannabis hemp discussion that I had in last month of May. Once again, I touched base with Angela Prisser because on one very interesting discussion note, she visited, or she's currently in the UK, she visited a house completely made out of hemp. Now, remember, her discussion, the one that we had back in the month of May, was based upon the various industrial uses, and where she also highlighted the, you know, the good that this specific plant can provide. Remember, as Namibia does classify cannabis hemp or cannabis in its entirety as a, you know, as an illegal substance. It is because of said laws that we still have in place that it has been classified as such and is deemed illegal. Ultimately, also, there's always been the opposite voices that provide you with a, you know, a much open-minded approach in terms of why don't you look at it in this regard or providing this element. Now, we provided you the introduction, the lowdown in the discussion that I had with her last month. In tonight's discussion point, it centers on this specific house, this example of this house. That she has seen, and this is ultimately because I also follow her on her social media, especially on her Facebook page, in terms of where I actually saw this house itself. And without much further ado, let's have a listen to this discussion. And on the line, we've got Angela Prusa, a advocate in terms for the you know, taking a look at various alternative uses, especially of how cannabis hemp can be utilized in the industrial sense in Namibia, and also providing that same benefit that is going on around the world with regards to cannabis firstly being decriminalized and also being allowed to being made use of in a country's economy. Angela, welcome, and thank you for joining us again here on Eagle FM.
Thank you so much, Dwight, for having me again.
Angela, last time when we left off was sort of like, touching base in terms of the role, the industrial opportunities that cannabis hemp can play, or hemp. Let me just stay on hemp because you outlined the differences between the two cousins, the two strands of this specific plant. Usually, because the public perception is always that it's just one plant that exists and that there's not actually two of them. We find ourselves in another scope.
Can I actually intercept there? I do always make that distinction, but I do also want to just put a disclaimer in here that essentially it is the same plant, and everything that you can do from hemp, you can do from the cannabis plant that grows with high THC as well.
Mm. Exactly, exactly.
just to mention it.
No problem, Angela, because it's all about bringing that knowledge, that conversation through, just to help people also, you know what's happening around them. Now,
yes.
Now, Angela, we find ourselves on a different discussion point, and this is still with the industrial benefits. Since, you know, I follow you, since you and I, we are also Facebook friends, in reality on that platform, you posted a very interesting video and some engagement with regarding a house, a whole dwelling built out of, can I say cannabis hemp? Or is it entirely out of hemp?
Yes, so it is a house made from hemp. Actually, two structures, a house and a big meditation yoga room built from hemp.
Mm. And where were these two places? Where are they based especially?
So essentially, I went to a farm in England, in the UK, in Cambridgeshire, and this is a really amazing project because essentially these people bought up this old agricultural farm that had first, you know, monocrop agriculture on it and then later cows. And so the soil was completely depleted, dead. And so they bought this piece of land and they managed to get a license from the Home Office in the UK to grow hemp and to basically then also process the hemp into hempcrete. And so in the UK, growing hemp, you're not allowed to water it. And in that time that they were growing it, the UK has had, you know, one of its worst droughts. So not a regular rainfall, even though it's a country that receives a lot of rainfall. But so the first crop of hemp that they grew was 6 acres. So that's about 2.8 hectares of hemp without any water. So just the water, and essentially it grew within 4 months. They harvested it, and it was, I can't remember the exact tonnage, but essentially however many tons they got out of 2.8 hectares, first and foremost, it sequestered 1.8 its times its weight in carbon. You know, so it would have sequestered a huge amount of carbon, and as well, it remineralized and replenished the soil within that one cycle of growth, so that now they can grow a different crop again on that soil, whereas before that soil was absolutely dead. And from that one crop of hemp that they grew, they built two structures. They've made the inner walls of hempcrete. So it's just hemp mixed with lime, and they put it into, you know, into a timber frame. And then the outside they made from hemp fiber that was pressed into panels that look like what we know in Namibia, sinkplate. So it's that kind of structure. And then they coated it in a resin that they just made from leftover food waste from neighboring farms, so corn, sweet potatoes, whatever, you know. And so that's what they cladded the whole outside of the houses with. One of the houses, the smaller one, which is essentially a room which is probably about 10 meter by 10 meter, that was built within 2 weeks.
Wow.
The whole structure from hemp, and just with a small timber frame. And then, you know, within that timber frame, you know, the inside is all filled in with hempcrete and the outside with the hemp panels. And then the other house, the main house, is huge. You know, it's a double story house, and that was built from hemp as well. So, you know, for me, this is, and also they, from that same crop, you know, they made various other things from hemp. For me, this is really exciting, you know, the potential to literally grow your crop of hemp and, you know, 10 meters away, process it and build your house, you know.
Kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Rambangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupopera, tani kuiruga na maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninka wakuruga na yowamba. Moktura mwe hundiro lieyo wamba zuma okoko, ndi mwagwana kuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndi dingura kwa Facebook, kwa VMMC Namibia.
And we just continue on from just before the ad break, where the conversation left off.
To combat climate change and you know, poverty, etc. This to me is a solution, a tangible solution, you know. And I got really excited actually when they told me that they weren't allowed to water the hemp, because, you know, it even outperformed all my research that I had done around the plant of water usage. So yeah.
But Angela, I wanted to ask, especially on that watering aspect. I know that that would have, in the UK, that would potentially be some sort of a legal requirement or legal condition to, you know, to curb the aspect of you know, consumption in terms of taking it in or consuming it in, into your body. Is that the perspective that the authorities had looked at?
I'm not really sure what the thinking behind it is, because, for example, you know, you can't really smoke hemp. You can make hemp seed oil from it, you know, or if you have hemp that have higher CBD, you can make CBD oil from it, which is essentially totally legal here in the UK. So I'm not really sure what the stipulation around that is, but it just shows, you know, like the potential of the hemp, that even if you're not allowed to water it, it's still able to grow, even, you know, in a place that had the least rainfall and that had a drought.
Exactly. Now, Angela, just taking a look at the what you're observing in terms of like the global moves with regards to cannabis, hemp, and also in some cases the decriminalization element. I just read somewhere that Thailand itself is now also Thailand, which is considered one of the major hubs for drug trafficking to take place internationally. They themselves also now made their moves in decriminalizing cannabis as well. What can you perhaps also add on that?
So it's really interesting, because a few years ago, you know, if you would have been caught with cannabis in Thailand, you would have potentially gotten the death sentence or life in prison. And now, because they have the foresight to understand the potential of this plant as a medicine and also the potential to the economy, you know, so now they are encouraging their population to grow cannabis in this whole decriminalization, legalization strategy that they've done, you know, like they are giving out cannabis plants to households so that they can grow cannabis. You know, Mexico as well, Mexico has legalized cannabis, and not just for medicinal purposes, but, you know, the whole plant. And this is really important. I think, you know, we need to free the whole plant, because, like I said before, essentially cannabis and hemp are, you know, they're the same plant. You know, they might be cousin plants in terms of how, you know, they grow, and the THC content is different, but anything that can be made from hemp can be made from cannabis. You know, hemp is cannabis. It just has a lower THC content, and it grows. It looks, you know, different in the way it grows, but that also depends upon which variety of hemp you have.
Exactly.
You know, so unlocking the potential of the whole plant is really important, because it serves, you know, to A, create industry and create a variety of industries, you know, create medicine, and as well respect the human rights and the lives of those people who do choose to use cannabis.
Exactly. And Angela, if we take a look at the, you know, just heading into the long-term discussion, because you noted something very important with regards to that, the house, or the two structures that were constructed from hemp. This is a live read advert from the voluntary medical male circumcision. This is a public service announcement wherein the Ministry of Health and Social Services is conducting a free voluntary medical male circumcision campaign, that is a VMMC campaign, from 6 June to 18 July 2022. The campaign targets men and boys aged 15 and above. Boys aged 15 to 17 should be accompanied by a parent or guardian for consent. The services will be available throughout the holiday. Smart Cut, Chillax, and Heal at Home. Targeted regions is the Oshikoto region for this time. The constituencies includes the following campaign dates and venues. First up is Omuthia at the Omutse Gonime Ohailombo. This is the Mbuganjela Combined School on 17 June 2022 from 8 to 5. The Onankali Ambende suburb at the Ombalagelo Combined School on 20 June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Then you have Onankali in the suburb of Epandulo at the Oshinamumwe Combined School from 21 June to from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Once again, still on at or still in Onankali at Ambende, and this will be at the venue or the school of Njuwila Primary School from 22 June. That's the date, 2022, from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. Omuthia once again, and this time in Omuthia, in Greater Omuthia itself, from Omutse Gonime Combined School once again on the 23rd of June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Once again, back to Onangali at Ambende Combined School on the 24th of June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Onangali once again at Amen at Ombundu Combined School on 27 June 2022 from 8 in the morning till 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Onankale once again, but this time at Epandulo at Gosen Combined School on the 28th of June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. And once again, still on Onankale, and this time at in the suburb of Onankale at Onankale South Combined School on 29 June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. The next stops will be at Onulaye at Omutse, and this is at Omutse Combined School, 30 June 2022, from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. Back to Onankali at Epandulo, once again at the Osha Longo Combined School, on the 1st of July 2022, from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. And once again, still at Onankali, and this time staying in the suburb of Onankali, at the Oshilungi Combined School from on the 4th of July 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. And then lastly, once again at Omuthia in the Greater Omuthia area at the Amuelo Combined School from 5 on the 5th of July from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. For more information or to book your smart cut, contact 081-309-2729 or visit the Facebook page at VMMC_Namibia. This campaign is brought to you by the Ministry of Health and Social Services with support from the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR, through the United States Agency for International Development, USAID. Return the replenishment that these plants do, that these cannabis hemp or hemp cannabis plants provide for the soil. Because ultimately you mentioned, you gave the characteristic, the description of the soil there in that specific part of UK was severely depleted of its nutrition, and that it actually provides it back into the soil. Is this one of also the ways that it can revolutionize even the agricultural economies, if you have to take a little look at it in that way?
Yes, most definitely. Hemp, you know, alongside some other plant, is a great plant to replenish the soil because of its roots and because of its nitrogen fixing properties. You know, and the other great thing is, you know, being able to, because we have so much soil that has been farmed with so many pesticides and, you know, so much herbicides and added fertilizer, you know, so the soil is essentially dead. And also because of monocrop agriculture, you know, that is not a healthy way to farm. So hemp could be utilized to because it also, it cleans the soil. Hemp and cannabis have the potential to phytoremediate the soil. So they pull out the toxins out of the soil. So whether that is the toxins of, you know, like fertilizer, or pesticides or herbicides or, you know, toxic chemicals or even things like uranium, you know, that leach into the soil, they can pull that out and break that down, you know, within the plant. So essentially, you know, for cleaning the soils and revitalizing and nourishing the soils, there, it's a great plant. And while it's doing this, you know, it's sequestering carbon out of the atmosphere, which is essential at this time, you know, of what we're going through with the climate crisis. So, you know, even just for that use, you know, it's a really beneficial plant. And the great thing as well is that you can plant it together with other plants. You know, it doesn't need to be grown as a monocrop. You can plant it together with, you know, with food, or you can plant it together with other plants that you potentially want to use for making textiles like flax or whatever, or with certain herbs. So it's a really versatile plant. And as we can see as well, and I've been having conversations as well with people in South Africa about the fact that there's a lot of cannabis and hemp strains that are quite drought resistant, actually. So even though we are under the impression that the plant needs a lot of water, there's a lot of strains that, you know, do very well with, you know, quite little water and still are able to, you know, create a massive yield. And the other thing, for example, with this house, you know, in Namibia, the growing conditions, even just the amount of sunshine we have, would yield, you know, possibly double the size of the yield than it does in England because of the sunshine. You know, so imagine how much we could grow in a little space, and then how we could support our communities, you know, how we could create housing. And essentially also building with hempcrete, you don't need to have a timber frame. You know, this is an expensive way of building.
Yeah.
But you could essentially just create hemp blocks that stack into each other like Legos, you know, or create hemp dome-shaped houses that are, you know, like stack into each other. So you lessen the cost of it. And so essentially, you know, the cost, and also the other thing is what is really inspiring is, you know, the processing of hemp can be done by hand, you know, or like very rudimental machinery is necessary. You know, you can get fancy machinery if you want to, but you can also do all of it in the traditional ways, you know, with minimal machine input, but, you know, maximum human input, which again creates jobs. So, you know, it's an ideal plant to have in Namibia, you know, even just in terms of our housing, you know, making sure that our communities have adequate housing, and potentially looking at utilizing it, for example, as biofuel and as medicine.
Now Angela, from our discussion, that's now the two of us, in terms of the, this is now session three, session four that you and I have had. Anyone that has listened to us, they would sit there thinking that this plant sounds like a super plant, like a super crop, or a potential super crop. Can it be considered like this, or do you perhaps have like a balancing perspective on how to look at cannabis hemp or this specific plant species itself?
So we have many super crops, you know, so many of the plants that we have on this planet are super crops, you know, and people often go like, oh my God, they're, you know, like they're too good to be true. But nature gives us everything that we need. You know, we've just become so disconnected from that knowledge. The one thing with hemp, for example, and with cannabis essentially as a whole, is that it is one of those plants that has such a long and prominent history in humankind. You know, it is a plant that's basically the origins of it are, you know, in Nepal, in, you know, in Asia. And
we quickly head into another ad break and then come back right after that where the discussion ended off.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
This is a live read. This is a live read advert from the Voluntary Medical Male Circumcision Program. Now, the Ministry of Health and Social Services is conducting a free voluntary medical male circumcision campaign, VMMC, from 6 June to 18 July 2022. The campaign targets men and boys aged 15 and above. Boys aged 15 to 17 should be accompanied by a parent or guardian for consent. The services will be available throughout the holiday. Smart Cut, Chillax, and Heal at Home. Targeted region is the Ohangwena region. Campaign dates and venues are as follows. In Enana, at the Ohakafia suburb, at the Ohakafia Combined School. This will be on 17 June 2022, from 8 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon. Still staying in Enana, the next stop will be at Oshikunde, at the Oputuko Combined School, from on the 20th of June 2022, from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. Still staying in Enhana, this once again still in the Oshikunde suburb. The next stop will be at the Omukukutu Combined School, 21 June 2022, and 8 in the morning till 5 p.m. Still in Enhana, and they're still in the Oshikunde suburb. The next stop will be at Lazarus Haufiku Combined School on 22 June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. Enhana still at Oshikunde suburb once again and at the Wangushu Combined School, 23 June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. The next stop will once again still be, everything will still be in the Enhana town, in the Enhana municipality, this time in the Ohakafia suburb, and this will be at the Onyenye Combined School on 24 June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. The next two dates will be still in Enhana, but this will be now in Ebembe at the Oshamono Combined School on 27 to 28 June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. Enhana for the next 3 days will be in the Ipembe suburb. Firstly, at the Atapa Combined School on 29 June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. And once again, still staying in the Ipembe suburb at the Ewanifo Combined School on the 30th of June 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. On the last day, it'll still be in the Ipembe suburb at the Eno Haitembu Combined School from on the 1st of July 2022 from 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. For more information or to book your smart cut, contact 081-309-2729 or visit the Facebook page at VMMC_Namibia. This campaign is brought to you by the Ministry of Health and Social Services with support from the United States President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR, through the United States Agency for International Development, USAID.
It's basically traveled with people across the whole world and been utilized by people for hundreds and thousands of years.
Mm.
So it's one of those versatile plants, you know, it's our companion plant.
Mm.
For some reason, we have evolved to have the endocannabinoid system within our body, which cannabis, you know, like acts like a lock and key system. And so do some other plants. You know, but essentially this plant, for example, let's just, you know, utilize the United States as an example. A few hundred years ago, up until after World War II, all plastic and petroleum and paper and cotton industries started to rise up and be birthed and expand. The majority of things were made from hemp. You know, all the sails were made from hemp, you know, clothing was made from hemp. Everyone had to grow hemp, you know, for the war to make all sorts of items from it. So we have a long-standing history with this plant because it is so versatile, I would believe.
Mm.
And so it's just a revival. It's just a revival of this knowledge, you know, coming back to it now after we've had the education now that we realize, well, the reason why it was, you know, criminalized in the first place, you know, was not because of its harm, but because of, you know, racist narratives or, you know, narratives of wanting to stamp out the hemp industry so that plastic petroleum, you know, which comes from fossil fuels, which, you know, is detrimental and, you know, is an extractive industry to make rice for that and for paper from trees. Mm. So the stamping out, you know, the diminishing of the hemp industry gave rise to basically a lot of very detrimental, destructive and extractive industries that we are now facing, you know, the consequences of what we are seeing with climate change and destruction of biodiversity and destruction of, you know, natural spaces. And so hemp is part of that solution. Mm. You know, there's many other amazing things that we can use, you know, from kelp, in the oceans, to all different plants, but hemp is definitely a, you know, tangible solution.
Exactly, exactly. Now, Angela, you mentioned an important thing, the ongoing discussion in terms of seeking various alternatives to the fossil fuel industry. Obviously, that has been the major discussion point with even us as Namibia participating. If we have to look at the way forward, and ultimately if people have to understand why it is such a major drawback for especially like oil to be taken off the market, what are some of the advantages and perhaps the potential lacking? I'll say lacking because it could be like the weaknesses of hemp or cannabis hemp. What is, and I'm not just asking you to do like a short SWOT analysis in comparison between petroleum and hemp or cannabis hemp, for example.
Okay. So, I mean, that's the thing, you know, Namibia is part of the Paris, you know, is a signatory to the Paris Climate Agreement. Namibia is also, you know, a signatory to its five pillars of development and, you know, the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. You know, the emphasis on that being that Namibia has signed towards, you know, phasing out fossil fuels. Yet now we are drilling for oil all of a sudden. You know, a practice that we have seen all across the world destroys communities, destroys nature, contaminates water, creates civil war. You know, the oil companies are some of the most destructive entities on this planet, and they don't care for nature and for the people. And once the oil has been taken out of the ground, you know, there is no reversing that process. And so, you know, we're essentially destroying, or, well, I say we, you know, our government is giving, you know, these oil companies the green light to come and into our country and destroy our resources for our future generations, destroy our nature, contaminate our water. And it's a sustainable long-term solution in terms of job creation, etc. It's just not, you know, there is better alternatives. And in terms of what, you know, a huge driver as well for the fossil fuel industry is the fact that plastic is made from fossil fuels.
Yeah.
You know, so petroleum plastics have a huge, huge, huge demand. And essentially, you know, our oceans and our forests and our rivers are filled with plastics that take up to 1,000 years to break down and biodegrade. You know, and we have plants like hemp, flax, various plants, cellulose, mushrooms, for example, that can make the alternative to, you know, petroleum plastics too. And those alternatives, A, are healthy for the planet. You know, hemp growing is healthy for the planet because it sequesters carbon, it nourishes the soil. You know, mushrooms growing are healthy for the soil. All these other plants growing can be healthy for the soil, you know, for the nature. And then plastics, for example, can be made out of that. And those plastics are carbon neutral plastics. Those plastics are not contaminating plastics. You know, those plastics have the potential to biodegrade. So even just for that in itself, you know, like, is why we should switch from fossil fuels, you know, petroleum plastics, to plant-based and fungi-based plastics, you know. The other thing as well is, you know, there is variety of ways to fuel cars that is not petrol. You know, you can make biofuel from hemp. You can also make biofuel from other plants. And this is really important because, so much of our global industry relies upon import export, you know, like utilizing huge amounts of fossil fuel to ship things. And it's about also looking at the solution of becoming more local, you know, and so this is where, for me, hemp becomes exciting, because the amount of from nutrition to building houses to creating medicine is what we can make in Namibia from hemp. So the less we have to import, the less we support fossil fuels, you know, or the use of fossil fuels. And so essentially embracing, you know, these new sustainable ways means that we are creating a future for our children. You know, it means that we keep our nature and preserve our nature, you know, in, to make sure that our nature, our animals as well, you know, like, are able to thrive. If we look at places like the Niger Delta, you know, the destruction of oil there, all across Guatemala, Ecuador, Brazil, it's been absolutely detrimental to the communities and the nature, you know, and anything that can be made from fossil fuels can be made from hemp or other materials, other plant materials, fungi, you know, there is. And so there's no excuse anymore, you know, and so we as citizens of Namibia need to hold our government accountable and say no more. You know, do we want to thrive, or do we want to, you know, making, you know, because no one's going to be making any money from the fossil fuels except for the government and the oil companies.
Exactly. Yeah.
So this is, you know, hemp definitely trumps fossil fuels.
Exactly. Now, Angela, just sort of like heading into the last discussion, based on the last fact aspect of our discussion, the importance of like the biofuel discussion. You also mentioned a very good one there, because the main, I would call the main fear that I've read up about, and also saw on various documentary programs, is that with biofuels, it can be deemed as, you know, the like the an alternative fuel to like fossil fuels. However, the major concern is always about the quantity or the scale of land that is always required to feed the biofuel industry. Can hemp challenge that narrative? Can it challenge that perception?
So I think that's the, you know, a really important point to remember is that, you know, like when we do things, it has to be, you know, we're basically at a precipice, you know, where we as society have to decide if we want to continue down this road of destruction. I mean, just looking at the climate and what is happening, you know, looking at all the floods, looking at all the mudslides, looking at all the earthquakes and all the destruction, looking at the failing of crops, you know, and the loss of biodiversity, the loss of insect life, the loss of bees. There's places where, you know, like, there's not even the bees to pollinate the trees anymore. They need to be pollinated by hand. Essentially, we are, you know, in a place of extinction almost. And so, you know, like anything in mass scale needs to be scaled down at this point. And we can see that it is possible. You know, when COVID hit, there was no flights taking off. People were not getting in their cars. So a new paradigm is possible where we use less. And that's the other thing. For example, in Namibia.
We quickly step into another ad break. And from that break, we head into the last leg of the discussion.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information.
If we can create local industry, you know, automatically the dependence on fossil fuels becomes less. And so with it, you know, the amount of, for example, biofuel needing to be created is also less.
Mm.
You know, I think that it needs to be a mixture of a variety of ways, you know, to utilize fossil fuels. You know, from solar panel things to utilizing hemp to utilizing, you know, for example, you can drive old diesel engines, for example, can be driven on cooking oil.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it has to have creative, sustainable solutions. You know, hemp obviously is not going to solve all of the world's problems, but it is a solution. It's one of the key solutions that we can utilize in Namibia alongside, for example, you know, the kelp that is now amazingly, you know, started to be implemented in Luderitz.
Mm.
So hemp is one of the many solutions, but it is definitely a solution that we can utilize. And it's also important that we look at the ecological impacts and to make sure that when we plant anything, you know, that it is done in a sustainable way that is beneficial rather than harmful, because anything can become a harm, you know, or, you know, whether you're planting too many trees in one area, whether you're planting a species that's invasive. So it's really important to make sure that the environmental impact is taken into account. So for me, you know, like, I mean, there's so many other plants and things as well that are amazing, but I can't advocate for everything, you know, so I focus on hemp and cannabis. But there is a lot of solutions to moving away from fossil fuels and to be able to fill what fossil fuels is currently providing.
Exactly. Yeah. And then Angela, on that note, if there's still something you wanted to add, that I might not have asked.
So I just, for me, the one thing that I always just want to stress, you know, is the fact that, cannabis is less harmful than alcohol and tobacco, and those substances are regulated and sold freely in Namibia. You know, the people who choose to use alcohol, even though, you know, the impact of alcohol is close to an epidemic in Namibia, you know, from violence to car accidents to, you know, all sorts of horrendous things are happening under the influence of alcohol. Yet the people are free to choose whether they want to consume alcohol.
Mm.
And this same needs to be given to cannabis users. You know, people who are in the privacy of their own home consuming cannabis, you know, not harming anyone, essentially committing a victimless crime, you know, because it's considered a crime in Namibia to be smoking cannabis. But it is morally, the prohibition of cannabis is morally wrong.
Yeah.
And so I want people to remember that, you know, we're not encouraging by advocating for cannabis or wanting it to be legalized. You know, we're not encouraging anyone to use it. You know, people who want to use cannabis, you know, because it's legalized doesn't mean that everyone is forced to use it or engage with it, you know, but we should have the right to engage with it should we choose to.
Now that right there was the discussion that I had with Angela Prusa. She, as mentioned, is someone who had worked in the cannabis cultivation industry, based in the United States, especially in the state of California. And ultimately, that discussion was essential just to you know, jog your memory once again. It was based upon the real life application with regards to this house built out of hempcrete. Now, hempcrete, understand, guys, is a concrete alternative. And this also points to one of my questions that I asked her in our discussion, is that why does it sound like this plant itself sounds like a wonder crop? Now, we've got to understand, guys, wonder plants or wonder crops are usually these kinds of plants that have multiple uses. Multiple. And as you heard, Angela listed off a whole host of uses, from biofuels to clothing or textiles to physical property construction, to providing one or other nutrients for soil. That's now in terms of cultivation, and the works goes on. Now, one of the reasons, and this is according to the website ethoscbd.com, where they noted why the wonder plant or the multifunctional perspective or perception of this plant comes from. And remember, this is just to give you that aspect in terms of to understand why it is being mentioned or sounds like this is a wonder plant. Now, understand, guys, it's not something like a revelation falling out of the sky anyway, going like, yay, the earth is going to be saved or anything. It's just to understand that this was a natural resource that was available to humanity up until a specific point, because obviously laws were set up and were created in terms of where people or those the regulators and so forth saw that the one aspect of consumption provides one or other very, very to be considered a negative trait, a negative social characteristic in terms of the influence or the influence that the user experiences. Now, some of these applications, just to highlight in a very summarized manner, is that hemp is referred to as a wonder plant because or due to its diverse benefits and applications. Famously reported to have over 25,000 uses. Once again, guys, over 25,000 uses. Now, I still have to see something, and myself, I've also done a little bit of extra online research with regards to seeing the various other uses, because if you have to think about what nature can offer in terms of specific uses, specific applications. However, that's the first time in this discussion with Angela that I've heard of hemp plastic or a plastic made from a natural product. Also, according to Ethos CBD, is where they indicate that hemp is used today for textiles, paper, bioplastics. Once again, it's there. Hempcrete, which is a concrete alternative. Yes, guys, concrete. It's a concrete alternative. Fiber, biofuels, and an array of food products. Now, they noted also, obviously, what most of us have also heard of is the health properties. Now, the health properties of the plant are bolstered by the discovery of the endocannabinoid system in the early 1990s. Scientists showed that cannabinoids found in the plant could activate receptors found throughout the human body and the human brain, resulting in many therapeutic effects. Now, CBD is one of these cannabinoids, and luckily it is also found in abundance on the surface of hemp flowers. Coupled with the low THC content, which is the no high effects, it is a clear reason as to why many people would want to see the resurgence of this crop. Now, it brings us up to the last 5 minutes of today's program. Ultimately, I did see, one caller trying to come through. But nonetheless, you can still let me know what you guys think of this discussion. Even if it's not tonight, we still have heading into the next into next week. And also, the climate discussion point that Angela also mentioned there is that hemp also is to be considered as a very vital type of natural component to this ongoing discussion for the world in a bid to save the planet itself. Now, they indicated here that it's also a sustainable alternative for numerous materials used in industries that are currently raising greenhouse gases. These industries are adding to deforestation, as mentioned, and the acceleration of climate change issues. Just adding in today, we're in especially the UK, Spain, Portugal, Italy. They are now currently complaining. If you guys, for any of you that have had the opportunity to see any online updates with regards to weather reports coming from the Northern Hemisphere, they are complaining already today that their Friday for Portugal last month, that was the month of May, was already their warmest month in recent years. Their warmest May in recent years. The UK is going to complain that they are complaining and worried that they're going to have 34 degrees Celsius for today. That's the highest temperature. And over the weekend for tomorrow, they could experience a high as 39 degrees Celsius. Now, remember, these are deemed as abnormal climate discussion points. Now, remember, you're going to ask me, how does this factor into an economic discussion? Well, ultimately, much of the blame has been laid on heavy industrialized processes, for example, like the extraction of minerals, the polluting or the highly polluting processes, for example, that are applied in I almost said manufacturing, but refining these extracted minerals that we mine or pump out or dig up, for that matter. And all these are the various discussion points that most of the climate activists and advocates and and all those other scientists associated with the global warming discussion are looking at. Now, ultimately, my discussion with Angela has always been about looking at the benefit in Namibia as well. And as you've just heard now, she has outlined many such benefits and many such discussion points, ultimately providing various aspects. Now, she indicates here that petroleum, and this is also something that I thought was not based from oil, because I did not know that plastic technically is a product also from petroleum oil, which is, extracted out of the earth, that petroleum is used to make plastic. Cotton is used for clothing. Traditional concrete, which is a carbon dioxide intensive, is used in constructing and building. And then also trees that are cut down in order to make or produce paper. Now, they note here that hemp grows at a much quicker rate than a tree, and it is proven also to sequester more carbon dioxide than trees per acre, meaning it can trap or absorb more carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. They indicated here that the world is finally also starting to awaken to what can be achieved with this wonder plant. Now, it's interesting to note, but ultimately, we are at the end of our program in terms of today's program of the Business and Economic Zone. Do let me know either on our social media platforms or hold your questions and your discussion points to Monday. I have to ask you to do that just as a kind plea. Keep your discussion points or your questions up to Monday, and then we can get into them from there on. But alternatively, also, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, for our Monday and Tuesday discussion points, I will be joined by Kanjengo on air in terms of where we will be, getting into an in-depth discussion with regards to various discussion points, specifically one for each of those days. It won't be a one that will be stretching over 2 days. Ultimately, also, you'll also have the opportunity to once again get in on that act and share some of your feedback and some of your thoughts. For that matter, stay tuned for the rest of your programming here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And let's see each other again over the weekend, as well as heading into the new week. For that matter, stay tuned, stay warm, please stay healthy, and let's see each other arrive alive, we all arrive alive at the start of the new week on Monday. For that matter, enjoy.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep,
dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry jy besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shell life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811-660707. This is a first for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the Great White.